Chillax, a podcast where you listen to this, our boy talk about life, news, and anything interesting. If you didn't know, I have a Patreon page where you can support the podcast if you are a regular listener and you want to support the podcast financially. You can go to patreon.com/chillaxpodcast and you get additional episodes for free. But either way, this episode is free. It will continue to be free. And I really appreciate all of you guys for listening to this podcast. You know, now and then I would look at the dashboard. I think I mentioned this quite a lot of times before, and it's still kind of like a I can't believe scenario where I stare at the stats and I see average downloads or plays per episode right now is about 100. I mean, it's not super big, but yet at the same time it's not super small as well. If you imagine it as 100 person listen to your podcast, listening to me talk, it's just unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Like, who the heck is listening to this? Who wants to listen to me, man? And I'm just one person, random dude out of nowhere. It's just talking about, I don't know, anything that is interesting. And there are people listening to it, and there are people following the podcast, which is pretty hard to believe, I would say. But I'm just glad that people are actually listening to this. I don't even know what I'm doing most of the time. I think at this point, it's just talking about my life, talking about stories, just anything that is... It kind of like a vlog, isn't it? I think I mentioned this before. It feels like a vlog, but in a podcast version. Yeah. Okay. I know most of you, every one of you who are listening to this podcast, click on this podcast to listen to my experience at attending my first wedding. This first wedding is my first kind of like a friend that had this wedding. My first friend wedding. I had a wedding before, which is technically the first one where I attended my cousin's wedding, but there's no kind of close relationship for this to bear any significance. But this one I would consider truly my first wedding, and it's my friend who you know married his very long, you know, like how do I say, like the girlfriend that he met from secondary school, which is pretty long. And it's pretty, it felt different, man. I mean, going for a friend's wedding and the first one, when I see him, I don't know, walk down the aisles and seeing everything that is happening, like the parents are there, they're the restaurant is serving the food, they are dressed in their dress, their blazer and whatever not, it gives me a kind of weird feeling where it's fine, it feels like a milestone, like it's a new beginning, a new phase in life. That's how I describe it, because this feeling is just so strange, different. And I wouldn't say it's pure happiness. It's just like, wow, I can't describe this. Feels like something has happened, something new has happened. It's like a marker of like true adulthood. And as much as people say, oh, adulthood is when you reach what, 18, you can drink, smoke or whatever not, like what kind of bullshit it is like. But then I feel that true adulthood where you are like working, earning money and just doing regular adult stuff. Yeah, this wedding is really a marker of true adulthood. The way I felt, you know, after attending or during that whole wedding itself. Because it was just surreal. I just stood there and just wondered and reflected. I don't know, is our wedding supposed to be such a, like create such an opportunity or create such a feeling? I don't know, maybe it's just the first time. Yeah, and yeah. And seeing my friend now, you know, we used to hang out in Poly every day. We slack at the coffee shop in Poly. So we were studying in Singapore Poly, and there was this Kofu where we always kind of like after school we would just have our lunch and we just sit there the entire day and not do any work and just talk about anything under the sun. Just talk, have fun and all these things. And seeing him graduating, finding a job, and now getting married, it's like it's just wow, so much has changed this person has grown up, I suppose. And I can sense that this is the starting of the feeling, the first wedding, that kind of feeling you get. Then as you go for more and more weddings, I can imagine myself to be in a scenario where the feeling get more and more, how do I say, frustrating and daunting for me, I would say. For those who are single, right? You see all these people crossing this kind of milestone, and then you yourself is kind of stuck and not following the societal norm where you are, I don't know, you meet your girlfriend mostly in uni, I guess. But of course, life happens this relationship happens from different places. Right? But I mean, I have these generic expectations where, you know, you meet your girlfriend in uni, you all work hard together, then from what, 25 to 28 or whatever, you're working, you save up money, you get BTO, you get married and all these things. Then everybody get married, then you have a child before 30 or whatever. Then I'm here. Nothing has happened, no relationship. And it can feel like I'm kind of behind, but I'm just learning to accept it because it's a choice, right? There's no opportunity, and at the same time, I feel like it is what it is, or you can't really force it unless you actively go around looking for people. And I feel that maybe it's just my kind of expectations of a partner is just very specific, and it might not, I mean, maybe the right one haven't come yet. So that is that. But anyway, we are talking about the wedding. How can I deviate? So the wedding was not held at a hotel. Usually it's held at a hotel, right? Then wedding was held at a Dempsey Hill Chinese restaurant called Minjiang. Yeah. And I think the restaurant was like all the way into the top of the hill and all the way inside. You had to drive in, or you have to, I don't think you can walk in. You can technically walk in, you can walk anywhere in Singapore, but damn, thank God I took a Grab, because the route that goes in, right, just winding here and there, winding forever. And imagine you stop, and there's no bus stop. No, I see there's no bus stop inside at all. The bus stop doesn't go in. So I can imagine the bus stop stop you right outside the hill. Then you have to walk all the way in, which is crazy lah. I mean, by the time I walk in, I'm sweating like a pig already. Yeah, but we went to have the wedding. The wedding was held at this Chinese restaurant. They booked the entire restaurant for Sunday lunch, which is, I suppose if I have a choice, I will also do it at a restaurant. Feels more, I guess, smaller, not so big, not so grand, which I'm not really a fan of. And usually you would expect a Chinese restaurant to be, I mean, it's zicha, right, I guess, different dishes, and there will be sharing, but apparently not. There's no sharing at all. Maybe the COVID thing is still there, and they are still quite, how do I say, conservative. So there was no sharing. The food is served in individual portions, and it was very, very small. I'm not sure whether is that intentional. Is it how does it work? Like, is it the logic is that, okay, this is still a zicha, so we cook this zicha dish and we split into 8 servings. And I was expecting more, but the portions was very small. So maybe the zicha dish to begin with was already not that big. It's like zicha usually have like small, medium, large, right? It felt like a small, medium kind of situation where they split into 8 to 10 portions. And at the end of the day, you have barely anything to eat. And then I think the worst one was when they had a fish dish, like this steamed fish. And they brought it out to show that, oh, we are not eating some filet, some nonsense, like fake fish or something. They brought it out to show that it was an actual fish, and then they split it into individual portions. And it was so little, man. And because usually this kind of fish, right, you're supposed to serve on maybe a plate, or even better, you serve on that metal heating grill, right, to keep it hot throughout the whole dinner. But this one, I mean, they split into individual portions, so they put on plate, and because it's individual portion, it loses heat very easily, and it's no longer cold. I mean, it's no longer hot anymore. So it was, I mean, the fish was alright. People say it's nice, I suppose, but when it became cold It just didn't taste as nice. Besides that, we also have things like fish maw soup, which is a replacement for shark fin. Tastes the same, nothing much. I don't know how to evaluate good and bad shark fin soup. But overall, this fish maw shark fin soup thing, it tastes not bad. Then there was some spicy gong bao kind of fried shrimp and scallops. So the fried shrimp was alright. The sauce was pretty spicy. I can't really take it. But it just tastes like some gong bao chicken sauce, which I don't think is anything special. I feel like my taste for food is just way too, I don't know. I just hate on everything. I only like very specific things. And then there's scallops. Everybody said the scallops was damn nice. And I can agree with that. The scallops taste nice. But I'm not really a fan of scallops, so it did not taste like the best dish for me. And dang, the serving is still continued to be small. The fried shrimp and scallops, you know how many they give you? In that one bowl, I think there was two shrimps and one scallop. I don't know. I at this point, right, maybe I have a misconception that this is not a zicha place. This is a Chinese fine dining place. I guess so. Not too sure. And yeah, I suppose it's Dempsey, right? That's why it's fine dining. Maybe it makes sense. And the food aside, let's not talk about the food. Personally, I'm not really a fan of this kind of... I was expecting typical Chinese wedding fanfare, like, which is like the roast chicken, suckling pig. It's typical Chinese fare, not fanfare, yeah. Yep, so, but it was just other... But apparently, the situation was that the bride tried it before and they said it's nice, so they went there. But it's alright. Maybe I just don't like Chinese food, this kind of Chinese food. But the event was great. Let's just ignore the food. Seeing my friend getting married, him marrying his secondary school girlfriend, and similarly, I keep on saying it's hard to believe and everything is just hard to believe at this wedding. Seeing him marry his secondary school girlfriend. They've been together for... Wait, how long was it ago since secondary school? I don't know, more than a decade? I can't count really. If you ask me to count, I can't count. But definitely over a decade, right? And it's so rare if you think about it. People who have changed so much over the years. I look at myself. I'm not the same. Okay, in some sense, some parts of me are the same. But a lot of my values and perspective change so much. And I don't think I can... Anybody, all the girls that I met in school, right? I don't think I can kind of like gel with them now. Because it's just such a different kind of perspective. Me coming from neighborhood school. And he also come from neighborhood school. And everybody, you have this very... Chinese majority, low SES, I don't know how to describe it in detail, but it's just that kind of vibe, that kind of interactions that you have. And then now that I'm in uni, I graduated, and the people I hang out with, it's just so different, man. Night and day differences. But it's interesting how he and I is different in a sense where he was able to stay with the girlfriend for so long and they can change together because you change a lot, right? And they still are committed to one another. And I suppose part of him is also his roots is very grounded in the sense where he still have a lot of these secondary school friends where he hang out with, you know, they speak in Chinese, they hang out, they went to sing K, do all of these very, I suppose, these things that they enjoy together. They still keep in contact, close contact. And when we sat at the very close friends table, which is only one table, I think there was about 10-12 person, all of them except my other poly friend that was invited, all of them are those that are from his secondary school, primary school. They all are similar kind of, they're all speaking Chinese the entire time. And for me, the last time I spoke Chinese, okay, it was in China, but in Singapore, it was in secondary school. I think my life changed in the sense where after I joined poly, where I went to a psychology drama kind of course, where everybody speaks English, I had to kind of abandon that whole Chinese kind of thing, where I had to pick up English and really focus hard on becoming very, very good at English. And I ended up not being able to speak Chinese fluently at the end of the day. I just become so good. Everything I think in English, I write in English and everything. And but for him, we went through the same situation as well. But his mentality wasn't a situation where he just abandoned all these things. He still stay rooted in that sense. He still stay connected to all these people. And that's quite an interesting thing, you know. And I'm just glad that throughout all these years, he's still committed. I mean, the girlfriend and the boyfriend, both of them are still committed to one another. Because I can imagine myself just probably breaking up. I never had a relationship before, but I can really imagine that, because I feel that every phase of my life, from secondary school to poly, I'm one person. Then poly to the end of poly, I'm another person. Then army, I'm another person. Then uni, I'm another person as well. So I just kept on changing. And now I graduated, I'm working now, I'm also another person. So maybe it's just me not being experienced and having no idea how this kind of relationship works, right? I guess at the end of the day, it's also about commitment, because any kind of relationship, you will start out hot, spicy, exciting, then once the excitement fades, then you have to kind of answer the question of whether you can accept all the flaws, and also whether the benefits are more than the good things are bad more than the bad things, and you have to make a decision to commit or not, because the motivation and the excitement is no longer there to kind of hold you down, right? To push you forward and stay together. So that's kind of my understanding of it. And seeing all this marriage kind of make me think, oh, well, I'm truly, this is the start, this is the opening of the floodgate. Because right now I'm at the age where every single time every couple is gonna get married. Or already signing up BTO already. That's like the precursor, you know. The signs that things are happening. Then people are proposing this year, getting married this year, next year. And I gotta be prepared, man, mentally. And seeing all these friends, right, going through all these things of preparing the wedding, it's really scary looking at all this cost, effort and time to plan all these things. And on top of that, you have to work, man. You have to work. Where got time? What the heck? And I see all these things that's involved, right? It's not just like you go into a restaurant, say I want to book the whole restaurant, or I want to book the whole hotel, and you can just don't think about it anymore. It's not so easy. It's like you're planning an actual event, man. And I think most of us never planned an event before. I mean, small events, sure. Maybe we plan an event to go Malaysia, that's all. But we are talking about large scale events that concerns hundreds of people. And look at the cost involved. It's bloody expensive. We have photographer, videographer, flowers in the venue, flowers on the car also cost money. Hundreds of dollars. Like, what the heck? On the car also. I mean, I thought one thing that really, I suppose being a single person, never buy flowers before, that I didn't know was flowers is very, 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 very expensive. Yeah, so flowers on car, expensive. Food, expensive. Drinks, then you need to think of what kind of, if are you going to have groomsmen, bridesmaid, whatever not. You need to buy clothes for them, the theme, then tea ceremony, dowry. Then are you gonna rent a car? Are you gonna borrow your friend's car to drive your bride around? Different kind of rings, wedding band, proposal ring, then the wedding gown, and then the dress, wedding dress or whatever not. So there's so much things that it's just a massive logistical nightmare, because it's not just cost, it's also people that you need to manage, right? And then you need to plan all these things in advance. Then there's also the whole ordeal of picking the best man and the bridesmaid, because at the end of the day, you can only have so many. So it has to balance out with your wife, right? Like five on her side, five on your side. But I mean, not every time your wife's friend group is going to be the same as yours, like the same, like those people, close friends, not going to be equal, right? So you got to make the tough decision of picking your best friend and then leaving somebody out. And you could have seven best friends and you can only pick five. Then the other two best friends, how? Like that, though, feelings might be hurt when you leave somebody out. Because these kind of things, I suppose, is significant, right? But I'm hoping that the best friend would understand. But it can still hurt, though. Overall, for me, I'm honored if people choose me. But at the same time, I just wish that people don't choose me also. Because I don't want to play those stupid game of gate crashing. Which idiot in Singapore proposes? I don't think this... I remember somebody told me before, this gate crashing thing, right? Never happened in our parents' generation, right? Some idiot must have created this thing. Seems fun on Instagram. Then it just spread like some sort of virus, and then everybody thought, oh, it's fun, let's do this. Like, oh, ridiculous. I think after poly camp or uni camp, I swear to God, I never go to camp again. I never go to outdoors camping. And I never gonna play stupid games like this kind of I don't know, orientation camp games, make myself suffer. Yeah. I know, that's my mentality. I mean, people can think that it's fun, but for me it's not fun. It's like just waste of time and pretty boring. I rather drink and sit down and talk to other people. Yeah. And so gate crashing aside, sounds like a pain. Then, but personally, I can say all these things, I can have all these preferences, but I feel that a lot of this wedding thing for me is gonna end up becoming a situation where I'm doing it for my wife, where she can kind of show to her parents, you know, who she married and also share this occasion with everyone. And at the end of the day, if want to do gate crashing, I also got no choice, I'll just do it. If I have a choice, right, if I can control everything, I will not have any wedding at all. I'll just go in, sign the papers, or maybe just do a small restaurant kind of thing where I invite all my close friends, so maybe 10 or less, and then we just talk the entire night and we just celebrate. That's all I want to do. But then wedding is never about you, it's also about the family at large. But for me, I don't care about my family, alright? So in that sense, you still have to invite all these weird relatives from far away or whatever not. So it really depends, man. Maybe it really depends on my partner, whether she's a family oriented person or someone that just doesn't give a fuck. And also this will affect the cost, right? I really don't want to waste money. I rather save all this money, right, on going on a trip. Like, why spend this on other people and trying to get it back through the ang bao? Just take all the money and you just go overseas. So you can go with all this money, I'm quite sure we can go several countries, man. Wouldn't that be better? Just two of us. But I don't know, maybe tradition is a thing. If you don't have this wedding, it's like I mentioned with you, it's like a milestone. If you don't have it, do you truly feel that you're married? I don't know, man. Because for me, I don't care. Yeah, and then the wedding ring also feels a bit redundant, right? This is something I recently learned about. There's wedding ring and there's wedding band. Why do you need two rings? That's such a waste of money. Just one band only, you wear that band every day. Then why you still need a ring? But then people tell me, oh, you know, sometimes you wear wedding ring for special events or you still wear it, so you kind of swap it around. Okay, sure. But it's a waste lah. I think diamonds also is a waste. I can really see different pockets of people having different perspective here. Like the people that I met in poly, they are more, because it's your drama, arts course, psychology and all those things, people are more liberal, they are more open, they are more socially aware. So they know that these diamonds are blood diamonds and all this kind of nonsense, right? So they prefer synthetic diamonds, and they also don't really care about this kind of generic diamonds. Instead, a lot of their partners, they get very interesting kind of gems or whatever not. Or even just wedding band is good enough. But then I have another pocket of people from my uni. I mean, we all study business together. So their girlfriend's expectations are pretty, I guess, normal, normie kind of expectations, where they want your diamond wedding ring, whatever carat, whatever, then you need your wedding band. Then they need your videographer, photographer, wedding at a hotel. Then they want to go overseas for honeymoon. That's very typical stuff. So it's very interesting, very contrasting. So it's interesting. It's interesting. And oh, I can't believe I've been talking for so long, man. Wedding can talk so much, man. I hope you guys are experiencing some parts of it that I've mentioned. The kind of pain, the cost, especially the cost, the food, things to consider, the frustration of dealing with different people, who to invite, not just the bridesmaid and groomsmen one, just friends, you know, who to invite for the table, who to put together, who not to put together. Do you even invite your colleagues? Yeah, I was with my friend, then they were talking about, should you invite your colleague? You know, they say they're gonna invite their colleague or whatever, but you invite your colleague for what? You're not even close to them. I mean, you're colleagues, you're not friends. I would expect that a wedding is for very, very close people, right? Blood related, I guess. It's not somebody that will... I would assume that everybody there is going to lay down their life for you, that kind of situation. But my viewpoint is just damn extreme, I suppose. And why would you invite your colleague? But this is pretty common. I mean, people have their bosses to come. I suppose that helps to pad up the kind of cost they incurred, because they might be hosting at a hotel. There's a certain amount of people to fill, tables to have. Then, of course, it makes sense to invite all your colleagues, because I guess they will pay more, or maybe your family side is going to pay more. No idea. But I guess you're trying to maximize that opportunity to earn back the money, right? That's all, really. So many things to think about. I hope you all enjoyed this episode, and thanks again, man, for listening. I can't believe 100 people listened to this. I'm not the most eloquent person. I guess this is more a peer chatting kind of thing. And I hope, I don't know, keeps you entertained, helps you fall asleep. If you are interested to support me, you can go to patreon.com/chillaxpodcast. And I'm also open to any kind of comments, emails, questions. You can just send it to chillaxpodcast@gmail.com, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, you can find all this link on the description. So thanks for listening, and I will see you guys next time.